Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
My name is Son of Shalabel Barzilai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you, it's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shalom, everyone. Shalom. My name is Son of Shalabel Nabaya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yishlev now entering the sanctuary. It's a privilege and honor to present our first speaker, son of Yishlev, Yeshaya.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is A Highway to Our Father. Now, leading up to this Feast of Unleavened Bread, Yahweh allowed us to go on a few missionary trips, one of which I'll be speaking about today. On March 26, 2017, we left early in the morning and headed to Laredo, Texas, where we would spend the following day, 3/27, teaching and spreading the message of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. While we were there, we taught at four schools: Memorial Middle School, Sigaroa High School, LBJ High School, and the Job Corps. And we also made a presentation at the County Commissioner's Court. The day that this all took place was 3/27, and in Strong's, means royal. And this feast is the feast that we wear purple, and purple means royal. Now, the people of Laredo have always been very welcoming and accepting of the Peaceful Solution. Laredo is located on the border, on the southern border between the United States and Mexico. Laredo is right here. That red dot is Laredo, right there. Now, because of its location, Laredo is nicknamed the Gateway City. And this picture right here, you can see it says the Gateway to Mexico. It's named the Gateway City because it is the gateway to all the southern hemisphere below the United States, from Mexico to Central America and South America. They all have to travel up through Mexico, and then one of the main areas is Laredo that they would enter. Now, there are three main highways that lead to Laredo, and this one right here, it's kind of a faint line, but it comes right down through here, and that is Highway 83. Then this is Interstate 35, and you can see that 83 and 35, they both merge together. And Laredo is right here. And then over here we have, this is Highway 59. They all go right into Laredo. And this is the border. This line right here is the border. And Laredo's right there. Now, let's look at some of the facts about Highway 83. Highway 83, U.S. Route 83. It starts in West Hope, North Dakota, and ends in Brownsville, Texas, at the United States-Mexico border. Now, thinking about West Hope, we know that the Last Day's Witness would be located in what is known by all the world as the West. And Yoshua Hawkins is being the Western light on the seven lampstand, and he is the hope to all mankind, is he not? Now, Route 83 also goes through both Abilene, Texas, and Laredo, Texas. Abilene, Texas, and Laredo, Texas. And this 83 is the year that the House of Yahweh was established. In 1983, the House of Yahweh was established. Now, also, Pastor is 83 years old this year. And Route 83 came into existence in 1926. It came into existence in 1926. And that's 91 years ago this year. And it should make you think of Psalm 91. Because Psalm 91, it talks about, like here in verse 7, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. This is the protected place, the House of Yahweh, where the greatest gathering will take place. Now, in Strong's 1926, means to admit as a guest or figuratively teacher, to admit, not reject. Now, like I said earlier, in Laredo, they don't reject us. They welcome us there. They treat us like royalty. Like I said earlier about the purple, the color purple, and how it means royal. Now, the Laredo has, like I said, they've allowed the peaceful solution to come. They haven't rejected us. They've allowed us to come into their schools and teach the peaceful solution. And in Webb County, peaceful solution has taught all 10 high schools in Webb County and all 15 middle schools in Webb County. The peaceful solution has went to all of the high schools and middle schools in Webb County. Now, the length of U.S. Route 83 is 1,894 miles. And in Strong's, 1,894, or 1894, it means, it comes from this word right here, and it means Abel. And the last work, or the first work was started by Abel, and the last work is going to be ended by Abel. Or it's going to be finished by Abel today. Now, the kilometers, it's 3,048 kilometers. And in Strong's, 3,048 means gathering. It means gathering. And at the House of Yahweh, this is where the gathering is going to take place. Now, U.S. Route 59, or Highway 59, it intersects with 83, with Highway 83, and look when it existed, 1934. We all should be familiar with that number, 1934. And in 1934 is when knowledge increased, the nuclear bombs were invented, and so on. And 1934 in the Greek means make inquires about. And there's a scripture that says, ask at Abel, and that will settle a matter. Your questions will be answered at Abel. Now, turn over with me quickly to Isaiah 49:11. It says, I will make all my mountains away, and my highways will be exalted. Some of you might have seen this picture. The Peaceful Solution. And that is on US Highway 59. And remember how I said they welcomed the Peaceful Solution? They didn't have to allow the sign to be put up where the Peaceful Solution. They didn't have to allow it, but they allowed it. They welcomed us. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to Son of Yishalabel for prayer.
And now if y'all remain standing, I'd like to turn it over to our first speaker, Son of Yishalabel, Deacon White Buffalo Hawkins.
May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I would like to be speaking about a written letter of invitation. This was a magazine, Prophetic Word magazine from 2010. It says, Yahweh invites you to the most important feast in the history of mankind. Many people were called and are still being called and gathered by the House of Yahweh publications. Okay, and the scriptures tells us to preach and publish the message. Okay, he tells us who will be preaching and publishing the message. Please turn to Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14 says, and this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world on page 752. And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Also in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 36 on page 592. It says, but the expression, the burden of Yahweh, you will mention no more. For the message comes to man by the prophetic word. For you have perverted the words of the living Father, Yahweh of hosts, our Father. Remember how the Catholic Church kept the Bible captive and took away the words of Yahweh. It says, you have perverted the words of the living Father, Yahweh of hosts, our Father. These people are being gathered by the publications in the House of Yahweh literature today. In most prophetic words, it says, the House of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth. Can you please turn over to 1 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 15 on page 934. It says, but if I am delayed, I write to you so that you may know the right and proper way to conduct yourselves in the house of Yahweh, who are the called out ones of the living Father, the pillar and ground of the truth. So they were called out, they were gathered, the pillar and ground of the truth. I won't be able to cover all this today, but if you can see there, this is the gematria for the house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth. And the Hebrew gematria, it equals 3230. 3230. Let's look at that number, 3230. And it means, it's the Hebrew word Yamlik. And it means, it's from the same as Melech, which means Malik. And it comes from Hebrew number 4427, which means Malik, or consult. It means become king or queen, reign. Let's look at that. The word consult. Also in the prophetic words, it tells us in 2 Samuel 20. Please turn over there, 2 Samuel chapter 20. Second Samuel 20 and verse 18. On page 268, it says, "Then she spoke, saying, they used to speak long ago, saying to receive an answer, ask at Abel, and that would settle the matter." Now look at footnote 2. It says, verse 2018, "The first house of Yahweh was established by Abel." Genesis 4, verses 2 to 10. "And the site on which it stood was named after Abel. Since the house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth," in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, "one would, in the days of Abel, go to the house of Yahweh where Abel established it to receive the truth." And it's still the same today. We go to this house right here to receive an answer. So it means Malik and consult. So consult the Malik. Consult Yisrael Hawkins. Consult, ask at Abel, and you will get an answer. In the 14th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 14 and verse 40, it says, "Is not Yahweh among us? Why can't I rule instead of Yisrael Hawkins? Why do we have to ask the house of Yahweh? Why do we have to ask at Abel?" Well, try asking the Pope and see what kind of stupid answers you get. That's why you have to ask at Abel. Always. Praise Yahweh. So ask at Abel always. There is where we get the truth and the right answers. Pastor also said, "She brought forth," not speaking of a physical woman, although a physical woman brought this man forth. She gave birth to the man, but the woman that brought him forth was called Zebulun, who saw the light, who had a house of Yahweh in Galilee established by Abel. And all of these things were shown there. And they were still saying, "If you want an answer, ask at Abel." So not only long ago were they asking Abel for their answers, okay, but still today is where we need to ask at Abel. Verse 27 says, "But the Pope doesn't know how to do that because he's never read the scriptures. He's speaking sometimes what people tell him." Well,
There are some misconceptions in the book of Genesis. There are no misconceptions. It's misunderstanding on your part because you haven't studied at the place or the one sent was from. The one was sent from Yahweh to teach. That's the only mix-up. There's no misconceptions. The reason is you don't have the right answer. That's why we ask at Abel. And that's the reason you're still deceived and you will be deceived until you start practicing righteousness. The first step is coming to the house of Yahweh. Coming to the house of Yahweh. Okay, let's turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And let's look at verse 14. The first few words, it says, but only in the place Yahweh chooses. Coming to the house of Yahweh. Only in the place Yahweh chooses. And in verse 5, it says, you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh. The place which Yahweh your father shall choose. So if you don't have the right answer, then you probably didn't go to the place Yahweh chose. It says, and the Spirit, the law tells you, go to the house of Yahweh. Right, go to the house of Yahweh. That's the first law. Go to the one sent. Yochanan 6:29. He says 6:29, that's a great number. You really need to latch on to that number. We're going to be covering some of that during the feast. I have a man assigned to do this. It's wonderful. We have young priests who have been studying into these. They have come up with some delightful things for you to listen to. Going on, it says, there's a movement now, out now, trying to pretend that there's a second Genesis somewhere. Yeah, it's over there. No, it's over here. I forgot. No, they changed it. It's out yonder. Over yonder, someone beckoned to me. Over yonder. What pope could it be? So remember, if you don't have the right answer, then you probably didn't go to the place Yahweh chose. 2 Samuel 20, verse 18 tells us to ask at Abel. All right, that number, 2018, in the Greek, it means to bring upon or against. Okay, it's from these two words, epi and phero. And that word, phero, is from 53:42. It's Greek 53:42, and it means to bear or carry, bring forth. I carry, bear, bring, lead. I carry, bear, bring, I conduct, lead. Okay? It says, I make publicly known. Please turn back to Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. On page 752, it says, and this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So this Malak here, the Malak that is spoken of in this other number, 3230, the Malak that we need to consult at Abel, is bearing the message of the kingdom. Okay, he's bearing witness to all the nations. He's making it publicly known. It means to bear, carry, bring forth. Okay, it also means carrying. Carrying, it means endured. It means moved and upholds. That word endured, please turn over to Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Page 951, it says, looking to Yahshua, the first who was led and perfected by the faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the sacrifice, despising the shame, okay, these gods, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. And if we ask it, Abel, and we study it, Abel, there we will know how to endure. We'll know the truth of the matter. We'll get the right answer. Matithya 5, please turn over to Matithya 5 and verses 17 to 18. Matithya 5, verses 17 to 18 says, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law of the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to establish them." Okay? Uphold them. "Unless heaven and earth passes away, one yod, the smallest of the letters, will in no way pass from the law until all things are perfected." Okay? The law will stand. This is our work in these last days, is to establish Yahweh's laws. We're establishing Yahweh's laws, and Yisrael Hawkins is bearing witness, okay, to all nations of what Yahweh's laws truly are. This is all the time I have, and with that, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. All right, getting right into this. Today I'm going to be talking about two gatherings. Two gatherings. All right, now remember, Yahshua said it's very easy to be deceived. All right, it's very important to be on guard and be turning over to Matithya. Matithya 24. Matithya 24, verse 23, it says, "Then if any man says to you, 'Behold, here is the Messiah,' or 'He is there,' do not believe it. For there will arise false messiahs and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I have warned you beforehand." Alright, so the deception is going to be so strong, and that's what we're talking about today with these two gatherings. All right, one gathering is Satan's way. All right, it leads to the way of death. The other gathering is Yahweh's gathering, and that leads to life eternal. Now, there are many false prophets. You know, they may look righteous, they may act righteous, or they may even proclaim they are righteous. All right, now let me show you why Pastor never got into astrology.
A moment ago when I said that the big surprise could come, that spacecrafts could come in by the thousands, maybe come in shifts.
In March 1997, Marshall Applewhite, the leader of Heaven's Gate, told his followers there was a UFO in the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet, which orbits the Earth once every 2,000 years. He convinced them that this was their signal to board the flying saucer, which would take them into eternity. In order to catch this ride, the 39 cult members committed suicide by a combination of phenobarbital, alcohol, and suffocation. For reasons that still remain unanswered, they wore Nike running shoes, sported buzz haircuts, and carried $5 of quarters in their pockets. This tragedy was the culmination of 22 years of behavior modification under Marshall Applewhite's spell. What once started out as a grassroots Christian sect evolved into a dark millennial cult with beliefs in aliens and Armageddon.
So when they presented the picture of being able to literally leave in a craft, so to speak, which they were saying was similar to what Jesus did. He actually left in a physical body. When they overlaid that with modern day technological information, like that cloud of light was a UFO, it all lined up for me.
Early on, Marshall Applewhite and his co-leader Bonnie Nettles had convinced themselves and their followers that they were God's emissaries, here to lead humanity out of a corrupt world. Applewhite said he and Nettles had come from outer space, taking on human bodies as camouflage. They offered salvation to members who could overcome their attachment to human desires such as sex, money, and drugs. Where did this desperate and bizarre mixture of sci-fi and millennial madness begin? Before Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Lou Nettles became so-called alien agents, they were living separate lives of quiet desperation. Their twisted partnership began some 25 years earlier in Houston. At the same time, in nearby Corpus Christi, Marshall Applewhite's perfect life began to unravel. His 16-year marriage dissolved and his career as a college music professor ended when he was accused of a sexual relationship with a male student. Then Applewhite met Bonnie Lou Nettles, just as her 23-year marriage was ending as well. From the start, her relationship with Marshall Applewhite was based on a spiritual connection that shunned sex. They turned their New Age and Christian ideologies into a business and went searching for followers. While Nettles recited the Bible inside and out, Applewhite, also known as Herf, was the charming frontman. On New Year's Day, 1973, Applewhite and Nettles set out on what they called a spiritual road trip. Though Bonnie Nettles left her daughter and son behind with her ex-husband, she wrote to Terry regularly.
It's really difficult to believe all this.
After a year on the road, their unorthodox gospel began to take shape.
We knew the earth. July 26, 1973. Dearest Terry, we have finally come out of the wilderness to know what our mission is. It is definitely a big one. In fact, we have been sent to fulfill the scriptures the same as Jesus and others came to do. This has been revealed in John's revelations. I am not kidding, baby. This is for real. I knew it was something very important from the very beginning.
He and Nettles contacted UFO researcher Hayden Hughes in hope of spreading their message.
Herf Applewhite said, Hayden, you could do our mission a tremendous service by whatever means you have available to you, by simply stating that they are two individuals here to show that death can be overcome like Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And they compared it much like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, that their life here would go through a metamorphosis into a level above humans.
They called their group Human Individual Metamorphosis. By the fall of 1975, Applewhite and Nettles gave themselves names like Bo and Peep, Guinea and Pig, or Do and T, notes in the musical scale. They also referred to themselves as the Two, based on the two witnesses in the Book of Revelations, who were slain and then ascended into heaven. In the early 90s, Marshall Applewhite used the internet to spread his gospel to the outside world. He began designing personal websites, calling the company a higher source. Eventually, they were earning nearly $400,000 a year. With this income, they recruited new members by placing a full-page ad in USA Today and other newspapers.
Doe got instruction to relate to the world again and go out and collect any of the so-called second wave or anyone who was ready for this transition that didn't come aboard the first time around.
Now, everything was interpreted as a warning signal from above. At a campground in California, the cult thought the sky offered a message of impending doom.
The forest fires in the area had created this kind of blood red sky, and the sunset and the sun was bright red. So they interpreted that through a biblical passage that said, the end times are near.
In March of 1997, the comet Hale-Bopp was nearing Earth's orbit for its first visit in 2,000 years. Applewhite prophesied a UFO was following in the tail of the comet. He said, it's the marker we've been waiting for, the spacecraft from the level above human to take us home to the literal heavens. The Higher Source website posted a cryptic red alert message on the internet. The cult had sent letters and videotaped messages via FedEx to several old friends.
Let me say that our mission here at this time is about to come to a close in the next few days. We came from distant space, and even what some might call somewhat of another dimension, and we're about to return from whence we came.
On March 26th, 39 bodies were found in Rancho Santa Fe, California.
You can follow us, but you cannot stay here and follow us. You would have to follow quickly by also leaving this world before the conclusion of our leaving this atmosphere in preparation for its recycling.
You may be seated. All right, so what you saw there was, you know, it's really similar to the work going on here. You know, they overcame certain things, and they thought they were the two witnesses. You know, they thought they were the ones, but they weren't. And that's why you have to ask at Abel, or go to the house of Yahweh. Now, from Wikipedia here, it says, they concluded that they had been chosen to fulfill biblical prophecies and that they had been given higher level minds than other people. They wrote a pamphlet that described Jesus' reincarnation as a Texan. You know, and these people were from Texas also. So when people from the house of Yahweh look at us as us being from Texas, they're like, does anything great come from Texas? You know? And that's the same thing they said to Yahshua, you know? Does anything great come from Galilee? That's in Yochanan 1, by the way. But then it also says here, near the end, Applewhite had a revelation that they may have to abandon their human bodies and achieve the next level as Jesus had done. This occurred on March 22nd and 23rd, 322 and 323. When all 39 members committed suicide and graduated. Now let me show you why they used that date, 322. As you can see right there, the closest approach, this was the comet, 32297. Alright? Now authorities found the dead lying neatly in their own bunk beds, faces, torsos covered by a square purple cloth. You know, they wore the purple. Each member carried a $5 bill and three quarters in their pockets. All right, the $5 bill was to cover vagrancy fines while the members were out on jobs, while the quarters were to make phone calls. Members kept these in their pockets at the time of death as a sort of dark humor. All right, now let me show you. Remember, it was $5.75. All right, this is in Hebrew. 575 means to wither, how, where. It comes from 370, which means where. And it's the same as 369, which means to be nothing or not exist, faileth, never, none, nothing, without. All right, so that proves that they weren't the ones. All right? Now, all 39 members were dressed in identical black shirts and sweatpants, brand new black and white Nike Decades, athletic shoes, and an armband patch reading Heaven's Gate Away Team. Now let me show you why they wore Nike shoes. Nike Decades. In 35:29, it means Nike. Alright, and as you can see here, it means victory. But it comes from 35:28, which means I conquer, overcome, prevail. Alright, so you can see that's why they wore Nikes. because they thought they had overcame. They thought that they were the ones, they overcame everything they needed to, and now they're going back to heaven. All right, now let me show you a fun fact, you could call it. But 20 years from then, you know, pastor's giving out this free food, you know, giving out free spiritual food and physical food. Well, here the number 20, it means, comes from this word kaf, is a palm, open hand in Hebrew. It signifies giving freely, all right? And it also means the number of expectancy and redemption. All right, now, from the 14th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 25, verse 20, it says, they want you to bring this out. They want to bring this out right now about the UFOs to make you think that everything that's being shown to you in the house of Yahweh or comes from your scriptures about UFOs, you know, you've got to be some kind of nut that's wanting to commit suicide. Like I said, you know, does anything great come from Texas? You know, and that's what it's for. It's trying to make you think that the house of Yahweh is sick. All right, but you don't get up there by just merely using the name Yahweh, but teaching the whole law. This will bring you up to being the most hated in the world. And that's how we can prove that we're the one. You know, we're Yahweh's gathering because we're the most hated in the world. All right, because we expose the people's sins, and that's what makes us the most hated. With that, if everyone will please stand. Let's turn it over to the great Deacon Michael Ossoff Hawkins.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to move quickly. We're going to continue on Pastor's new song, The Greatest Gathering. And the title of my speech today is Yahweh's Greatest Gathering on a Single Hill, and this will be part 2. Now, I'm going to do a quick recap. When I looked up the elevation for right here where you're all sitting, it was 2,023 feet between 2023 and 2022 because it would fluctuate. So let's just look at these numbers real quick. 2023 means hill, hill country, mount, mountain, mountain to explain. And we know that right here, this elevation where we are established, where the house of Yahweh is established, they're explaining the laws and the prophecies through Yisro Hawkins and the great priests and priestesses in his house. Okay, now in the Greek, I brought it out that 2023 means to supply, provide, minister unto, lavish furnously, and of course, to richly supply everything needed for an ancient chorus to be a grand production and to accomplish a grand objective. All on a single hill here in Callahan County where the house of Yahweh is established. Okay, well, I looked up some more stuff regarding the song, and the great priest had done something with the gematria. And so I did the same thing. I put the title of the song, The Greatest Gathering, into the gematria, and it came up 758. The Greatest Gathering, 758, in the Strong's Hebrew means Syria and its inhabitants and all of ancient Mesopotamia, which is that entire area right in there that where the trouble and the majority of the refugees are coming from at this time. And we are making it known as the house of Yahweh through our great teacher, Yisro Hawkins, and again, the great priests and priestesses, that they have a place they can come to. They can come here and have the peace that they're so desiring and looking for. Yes, praise Yahweh for his house and this great, great blessing. Okay, so then I put the line, a huge crowd that's gathering on a single hill in the gematria, and it came up 2133, and it comes from 2132. A huge crowd that's gathering on a single hill, and it means olive tree. It means olive trees, the two witnesses. It means the tree, it means the branch. So that line, a huge crowd that's gathering on a single hill, means olive trees, the tree of life being the house of Yahweh, and the branch. Yes, praise Yahweh. In the Greek, it means to show and think kindly of, as in the peaceful solution, care and concern for others. Now I put led me, when I'd done that, the scripture kept popping into my mind. And it was like one of those times when you're working on something, it's like barking in your ear, and it's like, okay, I'll look it up, you know. So I looked it up, and I called one of the great priests for some information. And if you'll turn over to Matithya 23, where it speaks of another gathering that's mentioned by our great high priest, Yahshua Messiah. Matithya 23, and it's found on 752, the page 752. And verse 37, and it reads, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who murder the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I wanted to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. They were not willing. They turned their back on the cup that was offered to them. They turned their back on the scepter that was before them and denied it. So I looked up some of these words, and I looked up the word hen, and it comes from 37:33 in the Greek, which comes from 37:35, and the word hen means a mountain, mount, hill, gathered on a single hill, like in the song, and it also means to accomplish most difficult, stupendous, incredible things. Yes, Yahshua Messiah was talking about the house of Yahweh in these last days. So I looked up some of these other words, and if you remember, the mount, the hill, the mountain, Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4. And so I looked up chicks, and it comes from 3501, and it means young, youthful, and new. So in these last days, the house of Yahweh has begun to gather in all the new and the young who desire peace. And again, I say that there is a place for the migrants, for the refugees, where they can come. They may not know what they're looking for, but they know they want peace, and they can only find it here at the house of Yahweh. And again, as I said in Psalm, as it reads in this scripture here, gather her chicks under her wings, we know in Psalm 91:4, it talks about the protected place. Gathering under the wings, drawing them in so they can be protected. In these last days, the house of Yahweh is preparing and getting ready and beginning to gather in all the people who want to know the way of peace, who are tired of the pain and the suffering that's going on in the world, and desire that way of life where them and their families can finally have peace and joy and abundant living that they can only find here at the house of Yahweh. So we have to remember that Yada, as it says here in the scriptures, you were not willing. They denied the cup that was given to them. They turned their back on the scepter. But not just them, anybody who turns their back on that cup and that scepter will be cut off. And it could be anyone that desires not to do what they're instructed by the priests or priestesses, that decide they don't want to follow the teachings in the house of Yahweh, that want to go off on their own and say this and that and the other about the veil or whatever, they're denying the cup. And as the great priest said on Seder night regarding Yahweh Shema, think about it, brethren, what we have placed before us. Think about it. We have everything placed before us, and Yahweh wants to give us that gift, that scepter, so that we can be little Yisrael Hawkins going throughout the universe and bringing peace to people that are crying out for it. Praise Yahweh. So the last thing I put in the gematria was led by Yahweh, Yahshua, and the witness Yisrael. And it came up 48:53, and it means a burden, as a load on mules and donkeys. Yes, we're carrying the burden, assisting our great teacher, and we're all being led by Yahweh, Yahshua, and the great witness and the priests and priestesses, so that we can be those chosen, the chosen part of the chosen generation that's going to bring this message to the kingdom. but it also means an uplifting of voices, singing tribute, singing prophecy, which the songs of Yahweh are, and song. One of the brothers pointed out in the men's speech class, and I highly encourage you to come to the sisters' speech class tonight. Highly informative, and they're singing the songs of Yisrael Hawkins also, bringing out these messages. And he pointed out the songs of Yahweh and showed that it was the teachings of Yisrael Hawkins. Yes, the song and song CDs and all the information coming from the house are the songs of Yahweh and the prophecies being brought forth in song. We must not reject that cup that's given to us. We must not turn our back on the scepter that is before us. Obedience to the one sent is what we must always have in our mind. Obedience to our counselors. Obedience to anybody that's placed over us. Humility with understanding according to the teachings of Yahweh's house is the only way we're going to make it. We must submit, and we can submit. And we will because we desire it, right? We want to be part of that kingdom, right? Praise Yahweh. Again, all the refugees, all the people of Yahweh, the refugee camps are closed. They've closed them. The beastly system will not provide for them. The house of Yahweh is open to all people that want peace. The house of Yahweh will never close. And we are ready to serve Yisrael Hawkins and the priests and priestesses in the Yahweh's house that we may have part of that, this great work and be able to take the cup and righteously hold that scepter and lift up the priests and priestesses and Yisrael Hawkins to help in this work. Yahweh bless your feast. Have a wonderful feast. If you all please stand. As a deacon from Nebraska, I turn it over to the great priest from Alaska, the great Kohan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. All you Okies. Is everybody okay today? Great. All right, well, that's what we're going to be talking about today, Oklahoma and the Okies, and we're going to get right into it. By the way, today's April 13th. Does that mean anything to you? Peace treaty? Anybody remember? It was also the date of the House of Yahweh's becoming clean, a congregation from the first sprinkling in 2004. Okay? The 24 and a half years in Daniel, if it was allowed to go the whole way, would end April 13th of 2018. Remember? Okay, so let's keep these things in mind. Let's get right into this. Okies. Can I zoom in? Okay. All right. Okie, the term Okie, it came in the 30s. You guys, a lot of you are very familiar with this, you men and women. In the 30s in California, the term was often used in contempt. You know, it was a very disparaging comment to call someone an Okie. And it came to refer to very poor migrants from Oklahoma and nearby states. The Dust Bowl and the Okie migration of the 1930s brought in over 1 million newly displaced people, many headed to the farm labor jobs advertised in California's Central Valley. I want you to notice, this is really interesting. Think Exodus. 3 million left, okay, on this exodus to California. Now let's look at a little more information here. It says, during the Dust Bowl era, large numbers of farmers fleeing ecological disaster and the Great Depression migrated from the Great Plains and Southwest regions to California, mostly along U.S. Route 66. And I hope someday to get to this because it ties into the Grapes of Wrath and John Steinbeck's book, The Grapes of Wrath, and what that was actually about. Let me read a little more here. Yeah, it tells you about John Steinbeck's novel, The Grapes of Wrath, about the Dust Bowl and the migration of the Okies, okay, to California. And Will Rogers, I thought this was funny, is a famous movie star and political commentator from Oklahoma, remarked jokingly that the Okies moving from Oklahoma to California increased the average intelligence of both states. Yeah, I thought that was pretty great, too. By the way, U.S. Route 66 is known as Will Rogers Highway. Okay, now Okies, let's get right into this. The word Okies, look at that. Let's look at some of these definitions. Let's look at 164 first. It means a captive prisoner. It goes to this word here, which means taking and capture. And it goes to this word here. And it means to choose, prefer, to lay hold of by a personal choice, to take and choose. And it means choose, choosing, chosen. Okay? And it's from the Greek word arrow, and you should be very familiar with that, word number 142, because it's the combination of 83 and 59 and adds to 142, and it means a taking up, a lifting up, and it's from the Hebrew NASA, okay? Now, isn't it amazing that all these keep coming up? They keep coming up. There's a pattern to this, okay? You should know by now that it's not a coincidence here. Okay, now look here. Here's 354, and it means a taking up, a lifting up. And it's from this Greek word here. And it means to take up, to raise up, to take on board. And no, not on the spaceship, you know, don't get that in your mind. And here's 354 in the Hebrew, and what it basically goes to, I'll skip through this. It basically goes to meaning leading man, noble. Leading man, noble, mighty strength, powerful, etc. And then 59, of course, everybody knows by now what 59 means. Can I hear it?
Able.
That's right, able. And it also means gathering. Remember in the Greek, it means gathering. Now let's look at Oklahoma. Here's Oklahoma. The numbers for Oklahoma. Let's look at these very quick. 170, it means I am without a suitable opportunity. And it's from this word here, or this is the Hebrew one. The Greek means I'm without opportunity. The Hebrew means she who has a tent, talking about those dwelling in tents. Let's see, a symbol of someone that dwells in tents or a sanctuary, and it's from 168, it means tent, home, tent, tents, and zero key in on this word right here, tabernacle, okay? Really write that one down because this is very important, tabernacle. Okay, now 456, that's the other number, right? 456, the middle number, means to build again, to build again. Be turning over to Acts chapter 14 while you're looking at this or hearing this. Rebuild, to build again, rebuild, to build up what has fallen or been raised to the ground. That word raised means to be brought down, not raised as in brought up, R-A-Z-E-D. To build up what's been raised to the ground. And let's look at Acts chapter 15, actually. Let's go to Acts chapter 15 very quick, because this is the only scripture that this is used in. Acts chapter 15, and let's look at verse 14 on page 856. It says, Yahweh's prophets have declared from the beginning, from Genesis, how Yahweh will visit the nations and take out of them a people for his name. And to this the words of the prophets agree, as it is written, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David that has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. so that the rest of mankind may seek Yahweh, all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says Yahweh, who does all these things. And known by Yahweh are all his works from the beginning of the world. And then for your notes, write down Emotion 9, 11, and 12, Jeremiah 12, 15, and Isaiah 45, 21. You can see them at the bottom of the footnote there, on this verse here, where it comes from. So the tabernacle of David, right? Let me show you a picture first. Y'all remember this, right? Treadaway Boulevard. Coming into Abilene, Business 83, Treadaway Boulevard. Very familiar. And if you'll remember, this means David's settlement. David's settlement. It's from the Celtic tray, meaning homestead, or you can even call it tabernacle, homestead. Tabernacle just means a home or a sanctuary. And Dewey, an early Celtic form of the personal name David. Now, let's look at the next number here. The last number, 76 for Oklahoma. In the Greek, it means Adam. Can you zoom out some, please? And it's from the Hebrew origin, Adam, okay? And let's go through this. Adam, or Adam, 121, goes to 120. Now, notice this. It means common sort. Low degree, low. Men of low degree, okay? And it's from 119. Actually, it's from Adam, which means ruddy. It means common sort, low man, men or women of low degree. See Hebrew Adam or Adam, and it means to be red. To be red, okay? To be red or ruddy. To show blood in the face. To flush or turn rosy or be red and ruddy. Interesting, because in Oklahoma, can you zoom in, please? The red dirt of Oklahoma, a type of red-colored, iron-rich soil found in various regions of the world, such as red clay soil, commonly found throughout parts of the southern and central areas of the U.S., such as in Oklahoma. And it's also, there was a book that I got a lot of information from, and I'm sure pastors read. It's called Red Dirt, Growing Up in Oakey. It was written by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz in 1997. Now let's look at the etymology of the word Oklahoma. Okay, it's a Choctaw word, and it means red people. It's from Oakland Nation people, or in Hama, meaning red. Now let me get back to this in a minute, because I need to read you something here from the 15th book of Israel. The 15th book of Israel, 10:10-15, sermon, chapter 33, verse 4. It says, the word Oklahoma means people. The word Homa means red. There's a few people around. Can you zoom out, please, a little bit? There are a few people around with red complexions, red hair. All of my family were. My uncles and aunts had red hair or were red complexioned. This means it's a symbolic color. It means life. It means life. You remember King David. You remember King David. He had a reddish complexion. Okay? Remember it said he was ruddy. King David, so did Yahshua. Yahshua had a reddish complexion. Even the other colored people besides this red-colored, it says, even the other colored people besides this red-colored people, they all have this in their bloodlines right now. Every one of you sitting here in the house of Yahweh right now. Okay? So don't look at each other and go, well, you don't look red in the face. You don't belong here. Get out of here. What house are you from? No. Listen to what he's saying, okay? He says, if you think about it, it means life. And right there, it agrees with the prophecy, because without this last day's work, there is no life. Skipping to verse 7, it says, Zechariah gives the house of Yahweh, and who would establish it? The two witnesses. And the life began in 1934 with my birth. I'm the last one of the prophecy there, born in Oklahoma, the ends of the earth. That was the last part. Remember, they called them Sooners. The Oklahomans are called the Sooners. That means they went in and took the land before the government gave it to them. They went sooner than they were supposed to. Now, King David, he was a pusher. And that's all in your bloodlines today in pushing forward life. Life. The last prophesied work is the one that gives the salvation, the life. Well, we see that the work in the house of Yahweh in Zechariah 3, 4, and 5, where it talks in chapter 5, our verses 10 and 11 about the two witnesses in a Babylonish land that didn't yet exist and not yet established. Well, that was Oklahoma. It was the ends of the earth, Oklahoma meaning life. And then he gives that, and then he shows you in Zechariah 6, 11 through 14, Yahshua working for a man that they call the branch. The branch would branch off and establish the house, build the house. You know, the tabernacle of David that fell down. Okay? Read Acts 14 again. The house of Yahweh. And that's exactly what the branch did. He established the house of Yahweh. You know, go through the genealogies of Yahshua and you'll see Abraham, David, Yahshua, okay, and all the way up the pastor. Now, 1866 is when, okay, it says, the word Oklahoma was first coined on April 28th, 1866. So I looked up 1866, and it's from this Hebrew word, drawer, and it means a flowing, free, liberty, release. And it's talking about the sabbatical year of release. Yeah, freedom, outflow, and so clear, liberty, pure. Okay, this is the word that's used in the year of release, the sabbatical year. Now let's look at the history of Oklahoma in the headlines. It says at high noon on April 20... Oh, I forgot something else. 128? Okay, I'll get back to it. April 22nd, 89 was the Oklahoma land run, okay? It began at high noon. Settlers furiously dashed across the Oklahoma plains to stake their claim to nearly 2 million acres put up for grabs by the U.S. government that they stole from the natives. On the anniversary of the Oklahoma land rush, look back at the estimated 50,000 boomers and Sooners who engaged in what some have called the greatest horse race in American history. As the sun approached zenith on April 22nd, 89, an anxious army of 50,000 land-hungry settlers awaited their signal. And it was by proclamation of Benjamin Harrison on March 23rd that this land run should take place on April 22nd of 1889, which, by the way, was 128 years ago this year. And it means, what else? Adam. It means Adam. And it has all the same meanings that you just got done reading about a common lowly sort, the Okies. And this is 1 Samuel 6:12, and it shows that David was ruddy. It's 132. I gotta share something really, really neat with you. How many of you like Okie Shodoms? Okay. All right, let's read what Pastor said. He said, the 12th book of Israel, chapter 6, verse 50, yogurt too, which you get from the Yoki Shodom, laughing. Oki Shodom, Oki Shodom, not Yoki, Oki, not Yoki, Oki laughing. Yogurt is an ancient wonder food, an ancient wonder food. Can you get that? Yeah, they did it in the Garden of Eden. How ancient can you get? In the Garden of Eden, they had these things and it was perfect and they called it ancient wonder food. Remember Adam? Here's one of the words in the gematria for Oki Shodom, okay? 132, which means Adam. The red people, remember? Red, the lowly sort, the red-faced. Okay, now, 1166 is in Jewish gematria. Can you, I better get this out of the way, you can't see through it. And notice what it means. To show. It means showed. He showed them. The Oki showed them. Oh, but that's a coincidence, right? It means to teach. to make known, to show, to exhibit, to point out. Remember? Thanks for pointing that out, Yisrael Hawkins. Thank you, Israel Hawkins. Why don't you all give Israel Hawkins a hand for pointing these things out? It means to give the evidence of a proof or of a thing, to show by words, to teach. And we have the greatest teacher that has showed us. He is truly the last number here. He is truly 792. He is truly a star. Okay? And it goes to this word here. It means solid, firm, and steadfast, referring to what is immovable, that won't budge. He's stable, standing fast without buckling or giving way. I need you to look up a number when you go, when we're done today. You need to go up, look up the word number 1916. Look up 916, because that's when Yahshua's memorial ended. That's when the service ended. And you'll find that it means, one of the meanings in the Greek, I believe, meant this is a moment that is very decisive and our eternal life is hanging on it. And 916 in the Hebrew means to separate, to divide. As the great deacon just got done talking about, there's going to be a separation of the wheat from the chaff, as the great son of Israel, Abel Yeshurun, told us yesterday. I'm looking forward to hearing more on that from the great deacon. And at this time, I've got to go. And if you'd all please stand, it's been a blessing and a privilege to speak with you again today. And I'd like to now turn it over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Or shalom, you may be seated. We can drop the Shabbat. Now, before the news is over with, help me to remind me, you know, that I tell you that Yahweh's been working on a gift for you for over, we know, at least 6,000 years, a lot longer than that. But he's been working on a gift, and it's the greatest gift he could give to anyone. It's greater than free food or, you know, a free place to stay. It's greater than any of these things. And once you find out what this greatest gift is, every time you see it, and it can't be measured in money, you need to remind yourself every time, that's the greatest gift Yahweh can give me. But I want to read you something very quickly. It's out of a book of Yisrael, and I'll go over when it was written here shortly. But it says, Genesis 10:10, the beginning of this kingdom, the beginning of this Nimrod's kingdom, this system, the beginning of this new world order that he was creating here, speaking of Nimrod, the same thing we see today that the president is doing under the leadership of the Pope. Because the Pope is the one that came up with this, or the agency he represents, and they're trying, these political governmental leaders are trying to follow this thing. And like it was announced on the news, these Arabian nations here, they don't give a flip about this new world order. That's the trouble with, you know, mankind's inventions of peace, their nations that resist. So this new world order that this Nimrod system has here is the same way. He was a tyrant, but more than that, brethren, he was a religious tyrant, the same as you see today, trying to create a new world order that would bring power by a combination of nations and cities and so forth, so that no one would dare attack them. And this is what you see in Revelations describing the United States. And I read last week the second beast that rose up in the nations where there were no peoples, nations, languages, the one that was able to make fire come down from heaven in the sight of man. Of course, that's us. That's the United States. It's the only one that fits that prophecy. That's the one that today is joining this new world order, this Nimrod system. Now, everybody remembers that sermon, right? Raise your hand if you're 20 years old or younger. Raise your hand if you're 24 years old or younger. 25 years old or younger. Pastor gave that sermon before you were ever born. Go look up in the 7th book of Yisrael part 2 and read the Gulf War series. The same things he's been teaching for many years. Don't take them lightly. They're very important. They can help us come up to date with these things. So it's found in the 7th book of Yisrael part 2, and read the Gulf War series. You'll find it there. We start off, of course, we're taking the all this feast, all of us binding ourselves that have been here in the qualified time of the 7 years to make our decisions to choose to give our all to the house of Yahweh. Well, you would know that the UN, which remember as we read yesterday out of the book of Israel, it's ran by the Catholic Church, it's owned by the Catholic Church. They're coming out and talking about how brutal slavery is. And of course, they're talking about how they're taking these refugees and they're selling them, you know, they're using them by traffickers and militia groups. That's the people making monetary gain from these slaves. But of course, they're identifying slaves as Nimrod did. Yahweh is the greatest slave. Yeshua is the second greatest slave. And our teacher in these last days is the third in rank, but he's the greatest slave on the face of this earth right now. So do not let these things of being a slave be derogatory in your mind. It's only if you're tyrannical and you become like Nimrod does slave mean a bad thing. And then, of course, this last week, there was a man who was on a flight for United at the O'Hare International Airport. That's in Chicago. And remember, the love of many has grown cold, because what occurred was this flight was overbooked. United meant to reserve 4 spots for their employees. Well, they forgot to do that. So they needed 4 volunteers to leave the plane. Well, 3 left, and 1 who they told, you need to leave because they couldn't get anyone to volunteer. Well, he refused to leave, so they literally beat him bloody, knocked him unconscious, and then drug him from the plane. Now, of course, they're apologizing for it, and I'm sure that fixes everything in their minds. But think about this. The man did nothing wrong. He paid for his flight. He was doing what he had paid to do. He didn't commit any crime. And then in Somalia, of course, the UN, once again, don't forget the UN is ran by the Catholic Church. The UN is saying 20 million people facing starvation, 20 million people facing starvation. Do not forget, write it down, Revelation 6, chapter 8, where it says it was given to the 4 living creatures. Remember, that's the quartet. They were given power over that 4th part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with pestilence. It's not a shortage of food. They are willingly and knowingly starving these people to death. And when you're the agency that is controlling the food that's getting to these people, it's not a hard thing to do. And of course, that same was under the authority of the beast of the earth. Of course, we're talking about Yada and that scepter that they're ruling with at this time. And then, of course, Pope Francis speaking on climate change. Now, the church says it's only natural he would speak on these things, and they're correct. Romans 1:26 talks about what's natural, but remember, it's not original. If you commit sin, it's natural for you to get cancer or heart disease. It's natural for you to die if you commit sin. It's not from the original, though. It was never original. So remember that, because these things that are natural should not be from the original. It was not meant to be. And of course, the church is saying that you need to be a responsible human being by taking action. Now, they drum it up so you get behind them. And of course, that action you're going to need to take is you're going to need to help reduce this population. Get behind us not feeding these people. Get behind this war. Get behind everything we're doing to reduce this population growth that they say is destroying the earth. Now, suicide bombers in Egypt. Remember, Pope Francis is due to go to Egypt at the end of this month, and I'm sure they're going to welcome him. He's going to come in and save the day. It's easy to prevent bombings when you're the one sending them in, that's for sure. But I want you to watch carefully, because you're going to see people get blown up. You're literally going to see a man detonate himself beside 2 women that there's nothing left. And then you're going to see a church where they're inside, they're singing, it blows up, the screen goes blank. And then when it comes back, all you're going to see is blood. You're going to see what this beast does even to its own people. It does not care who they call their own people. And of course, that's the love that Satan has. There's no love whatsoever. None whatsoever in this beastly system. You look back to this world, you will find nothing but death. And of course, China. Now, China's facing pressure from the United States. The United States wanting China to isolate North Korea. Keep a mind on that word, isolate, because you're going to hear that a lot. But they're asking China to isolate North Korea, and China's even threatening at this time. China seems like they're going along with it, but they're also threatening North Korea to shut their oil off. Now, if China pulls out from North Korea, North Korea will collapse. That is the substance from which North Korea operates and can sustain itself. This Sabbath, North Korea is going to celebrate a holiday, And the interesting thing with North Korea in this holiday, they always shoot a missile or do a nuclear test. Remember, the United States told them, you shoot a missile or you do a nuclear test and we're going to attack you. You could truly have all-out war by this Sabbath. You could have it by tonight, but you really could have it because they're threatening it. Yeah, I hope it does. You know, it's going to take place sooner or later, and we need to get this show on the road, so to speak. Praise Yahweh. Now, also the UN. The UN, this last week, just yesterday, speaking of argumentation, remember we talked about this emotion running high at the UN? Well, they were arguing greatly. The UN, the representative president, of course, that's Nikki Haley, that is the United States ambassador to the UN. She is the president at this time. And she's telling Russia that they're isolating themselves by not aligning with the countries that want to put Assad out of power. They need to realign themselves. Don't align themselves with Iraq, don't align themselves with Iran or with Syria, but realign yourselves with this system, this Nimrod system, this New World Order. You need to align yourself. Well, Russia's fighting against that. They're not wanting part of that, and they're really standing against it. Keep in mind and listen to what they do to Russia. Listen to how they're telling Russia, you're responsible for all of this death. And then the very next article that comes up, watch how Saudi Arabia is still bombing Yemen with American weapons. They're still slaughtering that country with American weapons. But how much do you see that come up at the UN? Not one bit. And of course, that country is facing starvation. And then, of course, the United States, when they launched those 59 missiles in 1 minute, it cost the United States $110 million to launch those missiles, to blow up an Air Force base that costs nowhere near that much. And the interesting thing, they're showing on RT right now how the very next day Syria was still using the Air Force base. $110 million sent to bomb these people that did absolutely nothing, but think of the food you could have bought. Think of what could have been done for these people who they want to make it look like they're not starving intentionally. And then at the UN, it closes with the UK, the leader of the UK. Now, of course, he just got his instructions, I'm sure. Prince Charles just went and visited Pope Francis not long ago. And here's the ambassador of the UK now speaking at the UN, running Russia in the ground. And watch how much Russia, watch the anger that comes from this man. In fact, he even gets to the point where the ambassador from the UK looks away from him and he stops and he says, you look at me. Don't look away when I talk to you. Frustrations are getting high. This boiling point is reaching its peak. So please pay close attention. If we could please play the news.
Pay close attention. What you're about to see is Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Welcome to another edition of YPN News, bringing you the news as it relates to Bible prophecy and foretold by Yisro Hawkins. Well, in the news today, debates between UN Security Council members are heating up as they grope for answers to the Syrian crisis. Also, the Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is preparing to visit Moscow, and we'll look at what kind of relationship and influence China has on its North Korean neighbor. Well, all this and much more to report to you. But first, a topic not getting much attention in the media these days, the slave trade. Well, according to the United Nations, there are more and more African migrants being sold into slavery. The UN's Migration Agency says human traffickers and militia groups are responsible for both buying and selling of the West Africans as they pass through Libya. Now, the agency recently interviewed some of the migrants who told their stories of being sold in garage or car parks in the southern city of Sabah. Now, Sabah is one of Libya's main migrant smuggling hubs.
Othman Belbisi, head of the UN agency Libya mission, gave more details at a news conference in Geneva. He explained the migrants would be sold from anywhere from $200 to $500. Speaking of their treatment, Belbisi said many of them escape, Many of them are kept in bondage, and many of them are even imprisoned inside an area where they are forced to work on a daily basis.
There are also claims that women have been bought in Libya as well and are being forced to be sex slaves. Now, this new evidence gives light to the fact that the slave market is more open than in the past. Now, the new evidence suggests that the slave markets are becoming much more open about capturing the African peoples who are simply trying to make their way to Europe, and the UN is making the effort to help some of the refugees to return home. So in an effort for these people to find a better life here, they're being taken advantage of, basically.
Yeah, that's sad. Well, imagine you need to travel by plane. You book your flight in advance, pay for your ticket, pack, drove to the airport, made it through security, and finally are seated on your flight. You know, in a few short hours, you have reached your destination, right? Well, normally that's how it works, but for some on a recent United Airlines flight, things did not go at all as planned, especially for one man, and it was no fault of his own.
Well, the airlines overbooked a flight from Chicago O'Hare Airport to Louisville, Kentucky. Now, they needed four seats for its own crew members, and so when no one willingly volunteered to give up their seats, flight attendants chose four people at random and told them they needed to leave the plane. Now, three of the passengers left with no argument, but the fourth man refused to leave his seat.
Well, aviation police then proceeded to drag the man, screaming from his seat when he would not accept the airline's offer of money in exchange for his flight. Tyler Bridges was five rows back and told CBS News it was like a wild scene. You see a man hit his head on the armrest and it looked like he was knocked unconscious, and then they pulled him off the plane. The man didn't want to leave the flight, saying he was a doctor and had patients to see in the morning.
Since the incident, the security officer who appears on the video has been put on leave. And United's CEO Oscar Munoz issued a statement saying, "This is an upsetting event to all of us here at United. I apologize for having to reaccommodate these customers. Our team is moving with a sense of urgency to work with the authorities and to conduct our own detailed review of what happened."
Interesting. Well, the Saharan Desert is still home to nomads today, but not by choice. Many Somalian people have made the long trek across the scorching sands only to be stranded. They once ran from armed groups, but now they face an even greater threat, starvation. These refugee nomads rely on livestock they brought with them for their very survival. But as one woman told her story to Al Jazeera, we learned their animals are almost extinct.
Nima Dain Mohammed, a refugee, explained, "I came here with 250 goats. All of them are dead except for two. I have seven children who I am struggling to feed and am forced to give them black tea without milk, as all the animals I used to milk are dead." Well, with malnutrition on the rise, the UN is worried 20 million people could face starvation in many African countries, including Yemen.
Well, that's a big burden to carry. The region has been suffering from drought as well as armed conflicts that have displaced millions of people. One example is the South Sudanese people. Thousands have fled into neighboring Uganda, driven by the endless cycle of violence that shows no sign of letting up. With little food in the country already and the constant threat of gang violence, the people see no other option but to leave their homes.
Well, one woman recounted her experience to reporters, saying, "The soldiers were leading, breaking doors and beating people. They would arrest you and ask you to show them where the rebels are. But when you tell them you don't know, they beat you. They killed people," she said.
Another country being abused by war is Yemen. The UN reports over 16,000 people have lost their lives since the conflict began in March 2015, and millions have fled from their homes. As fighting continues, supplies of food, water, and medicine are running out. The latest figures from the UN show two-thirds of the population there in Yemen, 18.8 million people, need aid, and more than 7 million people are now facing famine.
Well, the situation is dire, as one UNHCR representative in Yemen tells Al Jazeera, there is significant famine, he said. There is significant famine. There is people dying because of lack of medical attention. There are people who are simply out of schools because the schools are being used as shelters for the displaced people. So very tough situation there.
Oh, I bet. But to cope with growing demands, instead of increasing the food supply, aid agencies are cutting food rations back as the humanitarian crisis expands. But the need will not likely stop anytime soon in places like northeast Nigeria. There, thousands of people are forced to flee from the militant group Boko Haram, which has wreaked a lot of havoc and terror in that area, which controls that particular area in northern Nigeria. But these communities do not feel secure in food and other needs. The UN warns a mass exodus could take place from the region.
Well, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the average temperature of the Earth has risen about 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit over the past 100 years. Now, it estimates there will be another increase of 0.5 to 8.6 degrees by the time we reach 2117, so basically another 100 years from now. Of course, such a drastic change, along with other issues taking place, would really tip the delicate balance of life on our planet. And since these and many other changes are affecting the world as a whole today, Pope Francis is naturally voicing his concerns and recommends people look to the church for the answers. But it's kind of strange that he would recommend they look to the church, because the church really doesn't have the answers, and they don't really have a set of guidelines that they go by. They just kind of make it up as they go.
That's right. Well, we look forward in 2117 to reporting on what's actually going to be taking place with the climate as things progress. Well, Professor Rodrigo Guerra Lopez was interviewed by RomeReports.com and told them the Pope educates us in the idea that everything is connected. Well, everything has synergy, he said, in relation to everything else. That is why water is as important as the situation of the poor. It is equally important to focus on the waste program as climate change.
Professor Lopez is the director of the Center for Advanced Social Research in Mexico. There he studies different social issues such as climate change. Now, the professor puts a lot of the blame for the Earth situation on mankind, who often introduces ideas or products which later cause harm to humanity. Now, he wants everyone to be aware of the damage they cause and be accountable for their actions.
Interesting. But there's not really any teaching for mankind to be accountable for their actions so that they can take responsibility and start making changes in their character. Well, but what is the Pope's role in all of this? Well, Professor Lopez tells us the encyclical Laudato Si, which is basically a letter, talks about climate change. The Pope, without being a scientific authority himself, listens to the best scientific research on climate change. So what Lopez is saying is that through this encyclical, this letter that the Pope wrote, the Church is confirming what science has found to be true.
The professor went on to say, I think that this attitude is very honorable on the part of the Church, because just like the faith and reason, the Church and science can join together at the service of people. Now, many experts at the Vatican, like Professor Lopez, believe that the Church and science should come together to help solve some the world's problems. And, you know, if you look at how the church and science, some of the things that science talk about, like evolution instead of the creation, you know, the church backs up some of the evolution theory. So maybe they can find some common ground there.
I'm sure they will, but I have a feeling we're still going to see these same problems taking place in the future. Well, there are apparently additional concerns for the papacy catching headlines as well. Larry McGee has been tracking a story for us regarding terrorism striking the church, as well as a story, other stories related to the state of warfare among the nations. Larry, what do you have for us?
Suffering retaliation at its place of origin, the Coptic Catholic Church was reportedly struck this week by bomb attacks at two of its cathedrals. In one incident, a bomb was placed underneath a pew and detonated during a choir performance. In the second attack, a suicide bomber attempted to enter a church by going around a church metal detector when he was caught by church security and instructed to proceed through the checkpoint. He returned to the detector and detonated his bomb. Both of the attacks are reported to have taken the lives of 44 people in total. ISIS is allegedly claiming responsibility for the incidents and has issued threats of more assaults in the making. The irony of ISIS is that it has actually killed more Muslims than it ever has Christians, but it is stated from its inception that its mission is to topple Rome, complete with visuals displaying the ISIS flag being flown over the Vatican. In response to the latest attacks, the geopolitical giant is said to be considering strategies to further enhance its already heightened security. A bridge intended to heighten friendly relations between Asia's leading power and North Korea is quiet and absent of much activity as tensions increase between the two allies over its nuclear program. As a concession to the United States, China has been dialing back its economic cooperation with North Korea in an effort to dissuade it from proceeding with its nuclear intentions. China has not cut all ties, however, and has contended that a measure that severe might actually produce an effect incompatible with what the international community desires. In a recent meeting with the head of China, President Trump stated that in the absence of new ideas from the Chinese to address the threat, that America is prepared to take unilateral action. And what is being taken as a token of seriousness in that regard, the U.S. has dispatched a fleet of warships towards the Korean Peninsula. That made it Kim Jong-un's move, but China, who is reportedly attempting to play an intermediary role between the two nations, is asking that both parties refrain from provocative action. That, of course, includes the usual military festivities put on at this time of year by the North Korean government, which typically includes an exhibition of several of its banned missiles. Intelligence is warning that another nuclear test might also be imminent, and that suspicion has prompted a strong naval response from the U.S., the threat of which has caused President Jong-un to vow that North Korea will deploy its nuclear weapons in the event of any preemptive action taken by the U.S. That language reportedly led to a call to China's head, Xi Jinping, by President Trump, which was followed then by a candid statement from Beijing warning North Korea not to launch any missiles this week and threatening tougher sanctions in the event that they do, including cutting off shipments of oil. In dialogue with this other chief competitor, Russia, the U.S. is asking that the European power cut off its ties with Syria and other nations and groups that the West considers its foes. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley accused the wayward quartet member of isolating itself from the international community through its continued support of President Assad and cast doubt on whether or not Russia has a genuine interest in establishing peace. In a paradigm intended to illustrate Russia's irresponsibleness, the ambassador stated that standing next to President Assad's generals are Iranian advisors whispering in their ears or giving orders. She went on to say, standing next to President Assad's soldiers are Hezbollah, with weapons courtesy of Iran and the power to overrule the Syrian military. In the end, the ambassador believes Iran is dumping fuel on the flames of the war in Syria in order to expand its own reach. For YPN News, I'm Larry McGee. Catan, Jeff, back to you.
Well, Catan, it seems like United States Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, is basically saying that Russia and Iran are just as guilty as the Assad government, so kind of grouping them all together.
Yeah.
Well, bipartisan lawmakers in the U.S. are seeking evidence from the Trump administration regarding Saudi Arabia's bombing campaign before the approval of the sale of precision-guided bombs to Riyadh. A letter with 31 Congress members' signatures was sent to Defense Secretary Jim Mattis and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Saudi Arabia has been involved in Yemen for 2 years. The war pits the government against rebels and has displaced millions and cost over 100,000 lives and left the country on the brink of famine.
Mm, wow. Rex Tillerson arrived in Russia for a meeting with Sergei Lavrov. Tensions are on the rise after a Syrian strike on the Syrian air base was conducted by the United States. That campaign of missiles cost the U.S. over $110 million. But even after all that fanfare by the U.S., that air base was operational the very next day. With these recent actions by the U.S., behind them, Tillerson is speaking with toughness regarding the U.S. and Russian relations.
Tillerson said in a press conference, Russia can realign with the U.S. or continue its support with this group, speaking of the Syrian government, which we, the U.S., feel won't serve Russia's interests long term. Now, China is also a player in this struggle among the nations, as President Trump made sure that the Chinese president was in the U.S. at the very time that the airstrikes were ordered.
That's right. They had that meeting there where he welcomed him to the White House. So, interesting. Regarding the U.S., China, and North Korea, Trump tweeted, if China decides to help, well, that would be great. If not, we will solve the problem, referring to North Korea, without them. Well, to back up those statements, Trump has already sent a mighty Navy fleet strike fleet to the Korean shores. Some are asking, with all these activities taking place, is this activity all just theatrics by the U.S.?
Well, the United Nations Security Council met to discuss the Syrian conflict, and one of the representatives from the UK, Matthew Rycroft, spoke out against the alleged use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime. He said, by these actions, Assad has made clear that he is not committed to a ceasefire or to the Astana process, which is a process that they have over there, Astana process ruining Russia's credibility. He also added that over 13 million who are in need of humanitarian assistance because of the Assad, and that it is clear that there is no place for Syria's future for Assad, in Syria's future for Assad.
Well, it sounds like they're really against Assad in regarding
that's
this
right.
matter.
And this, of course, is all before they ever prove that it was Assad that used a chemical weapon. So they continue to kind of jump to conclusions over this whole thing and place the blame on him when really there's no proof that Assad was behind it.
Yeah, Assad and other members of the Security Council are really kind of up in arms for the fact that they have not brought in some investigators to, you know, go in and find out were these chemical weapons actually used and we were the source of them as well. So I guess we'll see as time moves forward here. Rycroft added that there is a way to resolve this crisis, mentioning the Geneva Communique of 2012 and the Security Council's Resolution 2254, make the way to, for peace in Syria. Rycroft also condemned Russian defense for the Syrian regime almost mocking Russia's 7 vetoes in the last 6 years on resolutions regarding Syria, concluding that Russia's credibility and reputation across the world have been poisoned by its toxic association with Assad. So some more finger-pointing going on there as well.
Well, the Russian ambassador, Vladimir Sofronkov, didn't take Rykov's comments lightly. He shot back saying that the UK's only intentions is to complicate efforts to keep the political process from unfolding and to bring into the UN a confrontational attitude. Sofronkov added that the UK was afraid that Russia might be working together with the US, and that's what they fear. In fact, the Russian ambassador got so worked up, he told the UK ambassador to look at him when he was speaking and not to look away.
Interesting. Sofronkov said, what have you done for a ceasefire? You welcome illegal armed groups from London and Paris, and you suddenly were afraid that things might be moving towards peace and a political solution. You support the interests of armed groups, and it's their interests that you're advancing. What are you doing? He concluded. So you can see not only the frustration and tension building amongst the nations, but the individuals that represent these countries are extremely frustrated as well.
Absolutely. I mean, to say someone, look at me when I'm talking to you and don't turn away.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted to hear. He wanted him to hear what he had to say.
Yeah. So almost like you're responsible for these things. Give me some respect when I'm talking to you.
Right.
Well, while the Pope is worried about the Earth's rising temperatures, he's missing the bigger picture of the hatred of mankind rising. And the system that everyone is crying out to for peace, well, that's the same system teaching them to make war. Peace is possible, but not through man's way. Yeshua Hawkins teaches that the only way to peace is Yahweh's laws of peace as found in the Holy Scriptures. Well, to find out more information about what you and your family can do to bring peace into your life, contact the House of Yahweh. And when you do, don't forget to request your free copy of the monthly newsletter and the Prophetic Word magazine. Here's what you can do.
To contact the House of Yahweh, you can write them at The House of Yahweh, P.O. Box 2498, Abilene, Texas 79604. You can call them at 1-800-613-9494. Visit them on any of their websites, www.yahweh.com, www.yisraelhawkins.com, www.yahwehsbranch.com, or you can visit our website at www.ypnnews.com. For any emails, you can email to info@yahweh.com. Any calls coming internationally, you can call the number that's on your screen now. And once again, we'd like to remind you about two excellent Bible study programs that are available, the Yisrael Says program and the Ask Yisrael program. You can find out about the Yisrael Says program by going to www.yisraelsays.com and the Ask Yisrael program by going to www.askyisrael.com.
Well, while the Pope and science focus on climate change, Yisrael Hawkins is focusing on changing the hearts and minds. Stay with us because Yisrael Hawkins is up next. For all of us here at YPN News, I'm Ketan Alexander.
And I'm Jeffrey Heimerman.
Thank you for watching.
At this time, if everyone would please stand. Now, I told you Yahweh had a gift for you, and it's the greatest gift He could give to anyone. And, of course, that greatest gift Yahweh can give to anyone in these last days is a teacher. And at this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest gift in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
Praise Yahweh. Oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And standing on the sea of glass, you may be seated. Also standing in Times Square. You're standing in Times Square. But you're headed for the House of Yahweh, if you can see that line. That line of cars and trucks that's gathering. The gathering has begun. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The sermons today and the news also. I don't have to bring that news now, so I can get right into this sermon that actually ties right in with everything that was brought here today. I didn't know that the word Oklahoma meant so much. I've written bits and pieces about it, but to put it all together that way and bring it out in one lump sum, now that's magnificent. I know you can't remember all of this, and it would help if you had some kind of player that you could rehearse it from time to time. Find a moment and sit down and relax and play it. But in the beginning, now, Yahweh had this plan. The plan has never changed. Now, there's been, of course, all kinds of deception as the great deacon brought forth with apple pie. Apple something or another. But these were all Christians. All of these people were Christians, but they used that to try to condemn the Scriptures. And this is a great trick of Satan. It won't work here. Yeah. We know that the prophecies are, they're shepherded by Yahweh. They're coming to pass. We now have an increase in knowledge that started in 1934 with this great land run that was just a few years before I was born. And the ends of the earth, as Scripture calls it, the ends of the earth. I've taken you from the ends of the earth, time-wise and geography also. But this is in Yahweh's plan, and this is what he showed to begin with. He showed that he had this plan. He gave mankind the laws of life. He gave it to Adam. And, of course, it was rejected, and it was taken away from them. They took it away from themselves. The way that it's written, Yahweh withdrew it from them. But that's not true. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 shows you that sin cuts you off from Yahweh. Period. That's it. And, of course, he took it away. They took the laws of Yahweh out of their knowledge, out of their vocabulary. But in 126, Yahweh's plan never changed. It's going to come to pass. It's going to be finished, but not until the time of the seventh messenger, which is Yahshua's messenger, shown in Revelations. It won't be finished until that time. And that's prophesied in this first book here. Book of Genesis, 126, Yahweh's plan. Chapter 3, they turned in following gods. Yahweh told them not to follow these evil gods. It would bring them down and they would perish. That perishing takes place too in this generation, as Yahshua said, and showed you the means of this 2,000 years ago. In Matthew 24, he said it's going to be a spectacular bombing, burning, the worst ever in man's history is going to take place in this generation. This generation. When you see the nuclear bombs that can darken the sun, then that generation will not pass away till all of it be fulfilled. Of course, he said in verse 21 and 22, it'd be the worst time of trouble ever in the history of mankind. But chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23, it shows that they started sinning. They lost the tree of life. It was they cut themselves off from Yahweh. So it was removed then. And then Yahweh starts showing you what is going to take place here with Cain. And as Yaakov said, as goes Cain, as Cain, so went the whole world. They followed the way of Cain. That's 1 verse 11. Now, in chapter 4, he shows you in chapter verse 6, so Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Then he says in Revelations, the nations were angry. The nations were angry, and your judgments, your prophecies, are coming to pass. That's in chapter 10 of Revelation. Well, he shows why the nations are angry. He shows why they're angry, why they're downcast, why they're letting children and adults starve to death, why they're bombing the people, destroying their properties, their land. And the scripture says this would be, now this is in after 6,000 years of the history of mankind, and it seems like they have learned nothing. It's still the same rebellion. Yahweh offers some laws that would take this out of them, and he shows it right here in verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. If you practice righteousness, if you practice righteousness, then you will become righteous and you will be acceptable for my kingdom. Now, that's what he tells every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. And that's the only way that you're going to get into Yahweh's kingdom, complete unity with his laws. As has already been brought out before I took the stage. In verse 11, he said, cursed, you're cursed from the earth. We've got that curse all over the earth now, and anyone who reads the reports can see that the food is cursed, the air is cursed. The Catholic Church is using this, the sins that they have committed that actually brought this about, they're using this to actually convince the people that we need to depopulate the earth by 5 billion people. Everyone except Catholics. This is what Malachi Martin shows. The Catholic Church hopes to come out on top and enforce their religion and live happily ever after, you know, like is taught in Hollywood. Verse 13, and Cain said to Yahweh, this punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, he spoke the truth. It is greater than mankind can bear. And then you have the verse 14, which shows war, continual war that is taking place. If you look over to chapter 6, it brings about this same rebellion, the violence. Chapter verse 3, Yahweh says, they will never subject themselves to righteousness under these conditions. That didn't alter the plan of Yahweh. He knew this to begin with. So he's allowed this to take place. At the same time, he's brought a work through from the beginning clear down to the end, Yeshua being part of that, and you're part of it in these last days under the guidance of Yeshua. But chapter 6, we see that the flood here comes, and one family is spared to carry on this work of Yahweh, which was Noah. The verse 11, it says, and the earth was corrupt as it is today. Now, Yeshua said that in Matthew 24. He said, exactly like it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in this generation that we're in right now, starting with the bomb, which started in 1934. 1934, remember that. Surely anyone could see this, that Yahweh has this written out and shows you everything you need to know about it. It was filled with violence. Verse 12, so Yahweh looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Verse 13, and Yahweh said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them will they and the earth be destroyed. That's the correct translation for that verse right there. Through them. It's not Yahweh bringing it. It's them bringing it. And of course, Yahweh, I don't even think he held it back. I think he just knew what the microorganisms was going to bring. Turn on over to Yochanan, to the apostles' work here. Yochanan 1, who continues now in book 2 with this plan. Yochanan 1, in verse 1. Yochanan 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's, and the same was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were done according to it. He knew this was going to take place. He allowed it to take place. That wasn't the end of his plan. It didn't disrupt his plan. His plan was, as we see in Genesis also, we'll get deeper there, his plan was to bring you through mankind all the way down through this 6,000 years and develop his house in the last days. In the last days. And that's shown, of course, in Genesis. We'll read it in a minute. But please take note of this. Everyone really pay attention to this. You really need it. It would help if you'd get this disc and listen to it later and really study this with your own Bible, King James Version, whatever. Someone built a pool, the children did. The children in the house of Yahweh. I was amazed at the talent that I saw there. But I came in the office one morning, and here was this fishing hole. And there I was standing with a pole in my hand, a small child, and I had a fish on my hook almost big as I was. And a King James Bible laying there by me. But I was getting my hook off so I could put it back down in the water and go back to reading again. But they put all of this together. You got to see it. I said, yeah, we need to get a picture or something and show this. But, or even go in my office, take a tour or something. Get somebody to guide you. Well, in the same plan, in the beginning was Yahweh, and all things were done according to it. There wasn't anything, and without it, nothing was done that was done. He brought forth the plan. He says, I'm going to allow this to take place and show you. It'll teach you this lesson. And that's exactly what he did. In that plan was life, and that life was light to mankind. Now, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness doesn't receive it. So how do you get out of that darkness? Of course, you repent. And verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to those he gave authority. He gave them authority to become the sons of Yahweh, see? He gave them that authority. They won't make it without us. We're going to have to resurrect them. To become the sons of Yahweh, to those who believed the testimony of Yahweh, the written. Remember, I harped on that written. It's got to be written in the book of Yahweh. It's got to be written. Okay, and remember that. Go back to Genesis again. Genesis 12. Genesis 12. And in chapter 10, too, you need to familiarize yourself with that. But look at chapter 12 of Genesis. And here's where you see Abraham and the promise of you, brothers and sisters. This is a promise of you yourselves. It's going to, and it's shown in the scriptures. I can show you and you can read it for yourself if you'll just pay attention to me. But chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1. Now Yahweh had said to Abram, this is Abraham, he changed his name, remember, to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred. You know, Melchizedek. He told Abraham this, and Abraham, if you could just imagine, if he had been rebellious there, he had said, who made you a ruler over me? Yeah, but Abraham was not that way. After the order of Melchizedek, the righteous priest and king came forth from this man right here, who obeyed Melchizedek. Now he comes to Abraham, and think what a jolt that was. Abraham was set up, he was rich, had a lot of possessions. and he comes to him and says, get out of your country. Well, where do you find that in the Ten Commandments? Well, why you mean get out of my country? I like it here. Well, of course, here a little and there a little. Precept upon precept. What in the world is a precept anyway? Well, your counselors will have some of those for you, and they'll tell you the law. They'll tell you the law and tell you you need to check up on your tithing. You need to start watching your mouth. You need to start watching your actions. These are laws, precepts, a precept upon precept, so you can follow these steps, these laws, and won't fall backwards and stumble the way the Catholic Church, the way YADA, has fallen backwards and stumbled. I will make of you a great nation, verse 2, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Talking about the righteousness that Abraham taught and practiced. And Abraham did this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob practiced the laws of Yahweh. It was the 12 tribes that came from Jacob that turned bitter and sour. Well, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse. That is your way, your face. Curse your face. The get in your face, as somebody said. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. And people think, and books have been written saying, you know, this is the riches, that this is the riches, the multitudes of richness of United States and Britain. That's not the blessing. That's not the blessing of milk and honey that we're enjoying here in the state of Texas right now, and Abilene, the house of Yahweh. This place is overwhelming with milk that'll make you white as snow, and honey which will cause you to choose righteousness. The families of the earth be blessed. All families of the earth is going to be blessed through this man. Through this man. And I'll show you this in just a little bit. It was touched on today. The great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins brought out from the readings in the Book of Yisrael and so forth. It was touched on several times, and of course I could see we had to get a grounding, a footing before we could ever understand that. If you heard the introduction here of the greatest gift, you know, the understanding of the microorganisms, how Yahweh created the earth, how he created mankind. If you don't have that understanding, you know, it's pretty easy to get lost down the line. So Abraham departed. He obeyed Yahweh. He obeyed Yahweh, and as Yahweh had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. 75 years old, and he uprooted everything and left, as Yahweh said. And verse 5, Abraham took Sarah, his wife. In verse 6, he went to, you notice that? Read it for yourself. Where did he go? To the mighty teacher. And this is spoken of throughout the Holy Scriptures, in Acts and in Hebrews and so forth. To the mighty teacher who trained him. In fact, he was the one that sent word to Abraham to come there, get out of your land and come here, and I will teach you. Well, this is chapter 12, 1 through 6. Look on over there, on over now to chapter 17. I know I'm taking you through this quickly, and we'll come back later, and we'll touch on other things. It's all written here a little and there a little, here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, to get you to the mighty teacher where you can actually become a part of the family. The family. Do you see how that word's actually meant family, and then house of Yahweh and Abel? It's amazing. Yahweh is keeping up with you. You're on the sea of glass in front of him, have been for over 6,000 years. Here in chapter 17 now of Genesis, in verse 19, Yahweh said, yes, I see Ishmael, but Sarah, your wife, will be bearing you a son, and you will call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. You see that? He tells you what he's going to do in advance. Satan knows this. She sees this. She tries to stop it. Yahweh would not let her stop it. Yahweh had planned this. He brought it through. You remember all the things that occurred with Moshe? He was the beginning of this, bringing the 12 tribes out. This bloodline of Abraham's here. Yes. Hid Moshe right under their nose. In fact, had one of their top queens who had a hospital and schools and everything and educated him, had her own private schools to educate Moshe. He got the top of the education in Egypt. Yahweh provided all of that in bringing forth his plan. Not one thing altered that plan. Verse 20, and for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will greatly increase him. 12 rulers he will father, and I will make him into a great nation. And you know those people, even today, they actually know this. They know that Abraham was their descendants, the so-called Jews, the Hebrews. They know that they're descendants of Abraham. They told Yeshua this. Well, you know, Abraham is our father. Well, Abraham was Ishmael's father too. And they know this today. And they're very abundant people over there. And of course, they follow some righteousness. They have some holiness. The Vatican is attacking all forms of righteousness. That's what you see, a fight against Ishmael over there right now, because they know this. They believe it. We're witness to them. We met and ate with them. They do not eat pork. They're circumcised. They follow all these things that they know of. They're not the house of Yahweh. They have a lot of mistakes in their teachings. But they agreed with us that we were right. And they said, if we could get this here to our people. I said, you will, eventually. But they're in contact with us now. These same people are in contact, wanting to come to the house right now. Yes. But my covenant will be established. Get this covenant he's talking about that's blessing you right now. The greatest blessing that a person could ever seek for is here right now. My covenant, I will establish with Isaac. My covenant that I will establish with Isaac. I'm going to show you that in Scripture, and if you'll read it, so you'll have no doubt at all anymore. Okay. 19. We were in verse 21. We ended with verse 21. And then verse 23 there says, Abraham, of course, he says, among the men of Abraham's house was all circumcised, which shows that, well, Ishmael's was too. And history brings that out very clear. From Isaac came Jacob, the father of the 12. And then chapter 49, go to chapter 49. And here we see a roundup. so to speak, chapter 49. But you got to pay attention now. Verse 1 tells you when this is going to be. All these quacks like Billy Graham, the Pope, which delivers messages, Santa Claus messages from the Vatican to the nations, telling them who to kill next, what wars you can start, giving them authority, that's what your scripture says. This is where it all comes from. He tells you what it's like following people who rejected Yahweh's laws. But notice it's in the last days. That's verse 1, Genesis 49, verse 1. Remember that. The last days started in 1934. Yeshua said that generation where he has his messenger, verse 14 of Matthew 24, Matthew 24, verse 14, his messenger, also shown in 96, written in 96 AY, I gave my messenger these things to tell to the congregation of the house of Yahweh. And that's what we're doing. We're telling it. The last days is the time, Matthew 24:29, of the nuclear bomb. History says it started in 1934. History says, and we put it in many letters, that knowledge was increased in 1934, the computer, which started in 1934. The work of Yahweh began with the last days, that generation began with the last born of two brothers called witnesses that I was born in 1934, about 40 years after that land run in the ends of the earth. How many more things do you need? I got them running out my ears, brother. My mind is filled with them. I wish I could just pour it in your head quickly. But look on down. Let me see what we do here. Genesis 49 shows the family, Genesis from Isaac, the 12 tribes, and Genesis 49 shows plainly the evil of the 12 tribes, but Yahweh's plan to bring his blessing from Abraham to all nations is shown. In Genesis 12, verse 3, that you're going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Well, you don't see that in this 12 tribes right here in chapter 49. Genesis 12, 3 says, you're going to be a blessing to all families of the earth. From reading this right here, there's only one verse that shows you how that blessing is going to take place. And it's in the last days. But remember that now. Chapter 12, verse 3, all the families of the earth is going to be blessed by your bloodline, by the descendants after you, your descendants after you. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10. Chapter 49, verse 10. Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter will not depart from Yada. Do you get it? Not. It will not depart from Yada. And Yada is a ruthless lion. And this is the last days, and Yada is still in power. The scepter is still with Yada. You see that? It will not depart from Yada, nor the ruling staff from between his feet until he comes. This blessing that's promised by Abraham through Abraham's descendants, until he comes to whom tribute belongs. Well, what would bring this tribute? teacher of righteousness. Teacher of righteousness. Righteousness is that tribute that will save you. If you practice righteousness, you will be acceptable. The tribute belongs, as Abraham was instructed, and he gave him tithe of all he had. Remember? Tribute. That's tribute. Now, the Catholic, the Yada, formed this strong Roman army to collect tribute. It doesn't belong to Yada, but that's what the Roman army was created for. In Rome, the seven hills of Rome, a very strong army that went out and started collecting the wealth of the nations, of the colonies, the cities, and bringing it to Babylon and Rome. And the obedience, notice now there's two things here. He comes to whom this blessing promised to Abraham, he, Yahshua, comes to whom tribute belongs. And second, the obedience of the nations is his. Got that in your mind? Now, keep that in your mind and go over to Psalms 110 and verse 1. Psalms 110 and verse 1. Yahweh said to my ruler and king, this is speaking of this blessing from Abraham, that is part of it, part of the blessing from Abraham. Part of the blessing he's speaking of, our ruler and king. He said to my ruler and king, set at my right hand. Here a little and there a little are the prophecies. Psalms 110, verse 1. This is the blessing promised Abraham that would be a blessing to all nations. This is Yahshua, of course. Until I make your enemies your footstool. So Yahshua is going to be there until somebody makes his enemies their footstool. Some work. Led by Yahweh, inspired by Yahshua as the high priest, beholding it every minute, guiding it every minute. This is a big job, brethren. It's not going to come about easy. Who could put hooks in the Leviathan's mouth and turn him around? Well, that's what it's talking about. The Leviathan sits on seven hills of Rome, the leader of the kings of the earth, named Yada. Yada. And he's going to be there and their lawgiver until these enemies are made the footstool of Yahshua Messiah. Yahweh said to my ruler and king, who is Yahshua Messiah. The witness who saw this testified about it. The witnesses. Turn over to Acts. We have witnesses, and they're writing. These witnesses kept and taught the laws of Yahweh. Yahweh shepherded their writings, inspiring them to write, saving them, inspiring this to be put together into the book called the Book of Yahweh. That's why we have it right now. You wouldn't have it if Yahweh wasn't shepherding this. In Acts, the second chapter, the witnesses that saw this, look at verse 34. Now David did not ascend into heaven. Oh, wow. I thought my first preacher that I listened to in a Brush Arbor said, well, David's in heaven. He was a liar. And my mother said, now, did you boys hear this? Do you hear what he said? And she showed us from the scriptures that David was not in heaven. It's in the scriptures. It's written. You read that yourself? No, he didn't go to heaven. King Solomon had a lot of knowledge. And he said, what makes you think man dies and goes to heaven and your horse dies and goes to the grave? Well, they had nothing to base their belief on, and it wasn't written, so they had nothing. And Solomon just said a few words to get them to thinking. David is not ascended into heaven, but he himself said, Yahweh said to my ruler and king, sit at my right hand. So he's talking about who? Read on. Until I make your enemies your footstool. Do you see where he is quoting that from? I just read it to you. Genesis 49. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh has made that same Yahshua whom you have sacrificed both king and Messiah. That same Yahshua now is both king and Messiah over the house of Yahweh. Over the house of Yahweh. Look back to Zechariah now. I'll go through this really quickly, but I got to make you understand it. Zechariah 6, keep that in mind now, what you just read from Acts. And you go to chapter 6, and I'll skip most of this, but get enough for you to see it. Zechariah 6, found on page 719. I want you to read it, if you will, please. I'm begging you. I'll get down on my knees and beg you if I need to. Take the silver and gold. This is the prophecy for the blessing that will bless you, that is blessing you right now. That's a blessing to all nations. This is the blessing. All families of the earth is going to be blessed by this. When? In the last days. In the last days. Last days? The generation of the nuclear bomb. Yeshua himself said it. With Zechariah 6, verse 11, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh. It says, King James says, Yazadek, but Strong's Hebrew Dictionary says, this word is Yahweh. On son of Yahweh, the high priest, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch. For he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory. Now our king is sitting in at the right hand of Yahweh. The branch is here on earth working. The branch is called the house of Yahweh. The branch, as you see over in chapter 4 and verse 12, they're called, the two witnesses are called branches. Well, this one of the two witnesses establishes the house of Yahweh. I know of no other man on earth that's done this except the one that come from the ends of the earth, as Yahweh said, which is Oklahoma, as Yahweh said. He named that. Yahweh named that, as you just saw from the great Kohan's work today that he brought out. Yahweh named Oklahoma. Okie and Okie showed them and all of this. Don't forget these things, brethren. They're very needful that you remember this. And will set and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne. The council of peace will be between him and Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the high priest that is sitting at the right hand of Yahweh at this time. Surely that's as clear as crystal. Surely it is. Yahweh's what? Yahweh's, four. Four. Now, you got that in mind. Now let's go back to Revelations here. Revelations. Revelations 22. Revelations 22, and we see our high priest, Yahshua, sending this message here, written in 96. This was the last message that Yahweh shepherded that was written and combined in the book of Yahweh to send to us. If you have studied the numbers, like number in Scripture, it's proven that this book is complete. If you added something to it, you would destroy the number system that this is based on. The whole system. You add anything or subtract anything, and you would destroy the whole system of numbers that this book is, that governs this book right here. Yahweh governed these prophecies, gathered them as Isaiah 34:16 says, put them in the book of Yahweh for us today. Now, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work will be. This is our assignments to raise the dead. This is the first thing we're going to be doing. Raising the dead, bringing all these people to a certain hill. These are our jobs, brother. They prophesied the nuclear bomb in advance. Nuclear bombs can burn the earth in 1 hour. That's prophesied in 96 AY. That they would have nuclear bombs in this generation that could burn the earth in 1 hour. It started in 1934, and we have them. Wake up, they're here. I got facts almost every month in the newsletters pointing this out. I am the first and the last. This is Yahshua Messiah, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his laws. That's what I'm telling you. Whether they're the Ten Commandments, you don't find in the Ten Commandments, love Yahweh with all your heart. You don't find the law that says, love your neighbor as yourself. You don't find the law that says, take your bowel movements outside the camp and bury it. But these are precepts that you must follow when the priest tells you, you need to follow something, you need to follow it. These are the precepts. Here a little and there a little. Blessed are those that keep his laws, that they might have right to the tree of life. If you don't do it, you don't have any right to the tree of life. Obedience is the key word. And may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs, whoremongers, sorcerers, murderers, worshipers of gods. You worship God by disobeying Yahweh. Yahweh gives you a precept. You don't want to obey it. You're worshiping gods that tells you to rebel. Satan says, don't do what Yahweh said. Follow these gods. Evil. Be evil like the gods. You'll enjoy that. And everyone who professes to love yet practices breaking the law. I, Yahshua, remember Zechariah 6. Behold the man whose name is the branch. You will work together with him. Yahshua says, I, Yahshua, have sent my messenger to tell you these things in the last days. We're it, brethren. We are the house of Yahweh. To testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. Then he tells you, I am the root. I'm the root. Get that. Underline it. Circle it. Something. Get it. So you can keep it in your memory. I am the root, the offspring of David, I'm the root, the offspring of David. How far do I want to go here? Let's read 17 also. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. The Spirit and the bride. The law says it. The Spirit is the law. And the bride, us, the house of Yahweh, we say, come. We're gathering you together to a place to teach you obedience. The greatest gathering ever. When we were writing that song, I didn't know all of these numbers and things. I hadn't done any of this work. I signed it to other people. And I was amazed myself at what that song actually means, that I had a hand in helping the musicians put together. Praise Yahweh. I have a hand in everything around here. And I see to it that everybody else does too, even to the youngest children. And I'm begging you to push the children. Push them. They can learn a lot faster if you push them. Well, verse 17, the Spirit, that's the law, says come, and the bride says come, and let him who hears say come, and let him who is thirsty come, and whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Well, that's only free at the house of Yahweh. Now, root, look back to verse 16. I am the root, I am the offspring of David. I am the root and I am the offspring of David. Go back to Zechariah. Go back to Zechariah here. And look at Zechariah 6. I remember what he said there in Revelations. I am the root and the offspring of David. In chapter 6 of Zechariah, verse 11, says, take the gold and make crowns and put it on the head of the son of Yahweh, the high priest, as high priest. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Now turn with me to Matthew 1. Yeshua said, I gave my messenger the orders to say this in the house of Yahweh. At a time when the house of Yahweh was destroyed, that was said. It was destroyed in 70 A.Y., Now look to Matthew 1. Everybody, please, you got to read this one. You got to read it. Now all of this is stacking up in your head. You can't remember all of it, but you can get this. Then you can go back later and read it again and again and study it again and again. Try to memorize it. Matthew 1. The records of the begetting of Yeshua Messiah. Verse 1. The son of David. Oh, did you get that? Son of David? What did he say in Revelation 22? Did you forget it? Let me read it to you again. I, Yeshua, have sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. Well, who am I anyway? I am the root and offspring of David. Matthew 1, verse 1. The begettings of Yeshua Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Wow. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Just like Yahweh said in Genesis. That's not all now. Okay, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Yada and his 11 brothers. Yada begot Perez and Zerah by the daughter-in-law Tamar. And Perez begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz, now you remember that name, Boaz and Ruth, remember. That's Boaz and Rhea. Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Rhea. And Obed begot Yeshia. Yeshia, as it should be pronounced. Yeshia, you get this? Yeshia begot David the king. Now you got all of that? David the king. Yeshia. Look, David the king. He begot David the king. Hold your place right there and turn over to Isaiah. Remember, Yahweh says that Yahshua is going to be working with a man named the Branch. Yahshua begot David the king. You got it? 11, Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, remember Matithiah now. Matithiah 1, verse 6, Yahshua begot David the king. Isaiah 11, verse 1, there will come forth a rod, here's the prophecy, a rod, that means scepter, out of the stem of Yeshua, you get that? And a branch, and a branch, you see that? Behold the man whose name is the branch, and a branch will grow out of his roots. Go back to Revelations 22. I know my time is up. Revelations 22. Revelations 22. I am the root. I am the offspring of David. Isn't that beautiful? I am the root. I am the offspring of David. The bright and morning star. I have commanded my messenger, the branch. I have commanded my messenger, the branch, to testify to you. You must keep these laws, as he says in verse 14 and Matthew 24, 14. Now, Isaiah, back to Isaiah there, if you held your finger there. He said, verse 1, 11 verse 1, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yeshua. That word for rod there is number 7626. It means now, listen to me, you can look it up yourself, 7626 in Hebrew. It's different in the Greek. It's different in the Greek. The Greek is 4464. Which means scepter. Yeah, I blew that up for you so you could see that word scepter. In fact, it's written twice. Scepter. Scepter. In Hebrew, speaking of the branch now, discipline, this rod, means discipline, to guide and direct. Well, I can only guide and direct the willing. And I won't force anyone, you know. So if you're not willing, you'll be left without. Identification of royalty. Wow. Now that's pretty great for Okies, I think. Yahweh thanks a lot of you, brethren. You wouldn't be wearing purple today if he hadn't told you. Praise Yahweh. Identification of royalty. The word is scepter, it says, right here in Strong's. Identified with or under authority of a leading staff. It means family. family. This still coming from Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. It means rod, scepter, correction, pen. It was translated pen one time. One time in the scripture. Revelations 11:1. And I will give to my two witnesses, and he gave me a pen. That was how it was translated. They changed it and said he gave me a reed like a rod, but that word was pen. And that's how it was placed here in Strong's, and he shows it. Revelations 11:1, that's the only place that it was translated that way. But it means scepter, ruling scepter. You don't just take a position like that, you know, I mean, instantly without training. Yahweh trains us. He's training us right now, day after day here at this feast. And there's a lot more training yet to come during this feast. You don't want to miss a bit of it. If anything, buckle under and get it to where you can really take note of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. We've got about 5 days left, and everything we got lined up tomorrow through the rest of this feast is very important for you to be here and learn it. The keep up with the news, as you see, some great things are taking place in the world too. They're getting ready and speaking of war, nuclear war this time. Nuclear war. And North Korea is saying don't cross this line, and United States is saying don't cross this line. Russia and Iran is saying don't cross this line. Well, who's going to back down, or can they? They got their foot in their mouth now, and it's hard to back out and still save face. Well, keep your hearts on Yahweh. The food is free, but if you overeat now, don't blame me if you start putting on pounds, and somebody said that's the reason they was doing it. But the house of Yahweh is such a blessed place, and more so this feast than ever before. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!